Hi, Rose. Hi, Simona. Hey, Angie. Hey, Dottie. Hey, Kim. All right. Hey, Bruce. So, I'm excited to be here with all of you today. You know that we have many opportunities for connection this week. One later today for those of you that are participating in Curriculum Lab. And we also have our last intensive this week. And so I didn't know how many of us would show up for today. I think it was a rescheduled call anyway. But as I always say, especially with these integration calls, really every call, every circle is perfect. And I know we're going to get exactly what we need from today. And so what I was thinking about, what I feel would be most important is to go back into some of the shadow pieces and to see how that's been going, to go a little bit more deeply into details. Maybe if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about how the shadow shows up for prospects when they're considering working with us. But the shadow work is, as with everything, it works best when you come back to it consistently. And so with that, first, let me ask you, what have you been noticing about your own shadows since our retreat? Have you been working with your shadows? Have you been paying attention to them? Sometimes after the shadow is revealed, if we don't consistently work with it, it can kind of dig its heels in and get even peskier. Sometimes not. What have you been noticing? If you've been noticing at all. Kim.
Well, I realize, I'm not even sure I can name a shadow component, but my focus has really been trying to be in the present and to stay with now and to really value what I'm doing in the moment. And I came away from the retreat feeling like it's such a lame thing. And like it was like, oh, this stupid little thing, sort of how I thought about it. And I it has been so helpful for me. I'm so grateful to have been focusing on this. It's, I didn't intend it, but it came up in our retreat. And what I have recognized is how much I get distracted, how much I avoid things, by allowing distraction to come. And whether that's my attention on projects or developing myself, or if it's on food, or, you know, there's just all sorts of things that I'm not in the now with. And I have been more and more, and it has been so wonderful to see some positive results in that I feel at more choice. I feel like I am progressing in ways that I hadn't been. And just the nature of staying with something, and just even when there's discomfort, to, you know, welcoming the discomfort and just staying anyway. And I can't point to any one huge thing that's happened, but it's just the recognition that I'm with that decision to really attend to it. It's been really, really enjoyable.
I just feel like I don't have a smile that's big enough for this, for the feeling that I have inside hearing this, Kim. I'm so happy to hear it. I'm so glad that you're sharing. As you were sharing, I mean, one of the things that I was feeling is like, you get to have more of you. You get to have more of you. You really want to honor you for committing, not just kind of walking out of the retreat and just agreeing, oh, silly thing, and letting it gather dust, but like really committing to that presence and showing up and then seeing the results from the showing up for it. I'm so, so excited.
Well, and I have to acknowledge that I am grateful. I have a face here in, on my screen. I'll get tender, but it has helped with that in some way. Just even with a comments or sharing perspectives or taking time. And I'm so grateful for that. It's been really beautiful. Whether you know it or not, it's mattered to me.
Rose.
Well, first, I love hearing from you, Kim, and witnessing you, because, you know, we're, Kim and I have been coaching buddies since Sacred Depths. So, you know, we are not letting go of each other. And so I've been witnessing what this living in the present moment, I mean, how it's transforming, you know, Kim. And I'm like really inspired. You know, as, and I try not to compare, but it's really a great thing to witness how, when I see someone else, you know, work with something and see it really work in your life. And so, so first, thank you, Kim. And, you know, and then it, you know, what, well, so for me, I get to see how I don't always live in the present moment, but it's okay. What I've really witnessed is, especially since this curriculum lab has come up, that I have, it has just really, it's like stirring the sleeping dragon. And all I know is that I'm living with shadow like all the time. And I mean, I'm living with and working with. It's some days it overtakes me, and it's more than just the sloth that I discovered in our retreat. You know, there's lots of aspects, and that's the other, lots of aspects of these parts of myself that I really have disavowed. And, you know, there's, and my other friends helped me. Dottie was reminding me of, you know, the flaky one, the confused one, I've added the desperate one. And so there's these parts of myself that I'm really witnessing. In the past, they would be there in various modes of awakeness. And I would wait for them to go away. I would wait for them to literally go back to sleep. You know, it was like they would arise out of the depths and consume me. I referred to that once in Gestalt. It's like it's dragon that comes up out of the down below and takes over me. So, I mean, I'm just really getting what I have done to disavow my shadow, to not own these parts of myself, to wait until I come back to the good parts and the parts I like better. And so I'm a work in process, but I just, naming it all is really, really helpful. I don't feel quite as crazy anymore. I think I've used to be sort of a secret crazy person, thinking I had all this stuff going on that people didn't know about. And now it's just, wow, I've really been creative in how I disavow myself or deny who I am or not meet what those needs are. What are those needs? You know, and I frankly don't know. Why would I be confused? Why? What's in it for me? So, but anyway, so it's a really, it's very alive for me, this whole, this work.
I feel it. I feel how you are with it. And I mean, you know, present in your way with it. And just, I can feel more self-acceptance in it. And I think like big strides towards starting to leverage it. If you're not already, like now that you're accepting it and now that you're noticing it and now that you're like, oh, this is a part of me and it might have needs and, you know, what is this, right? Instead of just disavowing it. I think the next step in the working with the shadow, if you're not already, is, okay, so like it comes up. So then can I go on a date with it? Like, can I go take a walk with the sloth right now? Can I join forces with the sloth and make a piece of art with the sloth right now? Because you're so creative. Can't, right? Like, how can you, like, I think the next step is like, okay, it's here. Okay. Now what can I do with it? Right. Can I lean into it in order to meet its needs and then maybe harness some of its power?
Yes. Instead of being owned, run by it, which is what it used to be. The other piece of that, so maybe it's part of being in relationship with it, is that I'm beginning my, you know, they come to me in the middle of the night. I just love how that happens. But I get these insights about, oh, so maybe that's why this stuff is here. It's to slow me down and to not think I have to get everything done right away. And because that takes me to a whole new, so I am having these pockets of wisdom and awareness that are, so I'm beginning to see. So now it's taking it to the next step of being actually in relationship and taking it on a date. Okay. Take my confused one on a date. Okay. Sure. I'm game, but I'm amazed at the depth of what's here, like what's here to work with, what's here to own. And because I see it in other people, in my clients, and that's exciting too. It's like, oh my gosh, there's a whole boatload of you that you don't, that you hate and are not accepting. So it's really rich. And so I've talked to them. So thank you.
never, but thank you, Rose. Angie, and actually Angie, before you share, I just like one thing I want to, so much to pull from what Rose said, but one thing in particular is that it's all like, we're always in process. It's not a once and done. And just the naming and accepting, like the awareness, the naming, the accepting, just that can create so much. So don't as a practitioner and for self, don't ever underestimate that. Angie.
There we go. Hi, everybody. That was a perfect setup for the thing I've been noticing and exploring, which is the work we've done has helped me realize that I had done so much to, basically, I've made a deal with myself that I just wasn't going to make myself wrong for anything. I was just not going to really make myself wrong for anything. And I'd been like, and that was a lot. That was a lot of work to do. That's not a simple thing. But like, I kept finding these edges. What's the next place that I'm not accepting myself, loving myself? But it was very, it was just broad. And it had gotten very passive. I was I wasn't investigating anything beyond that. It was just like, cool. Like you, I just get to love you this way today. And I just get to love you this way today. And I just get to love, and I'm so grateful for that. And I love that. And then this has taken me just one layer deeper into, well, many layers, but the next layer deeper I've been working with is when I notice something come up that
you know, before I had, again, kind of just passive ways of integrating and loving it, but not investigating. Now I'm spending a little more time and looking at it, and same doing that with my clients. What I've been really good at and really willing to do is, how do I want to say this? The thing that came quickly to me was, okay, look at the thing I'm disallowing, crank it up to a 10. What does that 10 have access to? Great, love that. You're invited to the party. Boom, integrate. Like, great, let's go. But then it just kind of stopped there, which again is still big, good, important stuff. But now I'm like, okay, well, what? Now what? What's after that? I've started to lean a little more into needs. What does that part need? Or what is that part, what job does that part think it's doing that's really important? And that kind, but now I'm kind of looking for what's next. And I suspect I'm bypassing some of the shadow work that doesn't feel so great. Cause like going to a 10 and celebrating that part and being like, great, Sloth, you're great at this thing. Let's go do that thing. That feels good. I love that. But I suspect I'm glossing over some other stuff.
I love that you're calling yourself out. So first of all, great work, right? Like, I mean, yeah, yes to all of that. So like you've been saying, big and important and helpful. Yes, yes, yes. And you're also, you know, because you are feeling it, if not, it wouldn't be a thing, right? But because you're feeling it, it's like, well, some glossing over and maybe being with like the more glamorous parts of the shadow, but maybe not so much the like the real unsavory parts. Am I getting that right?
I think so. Yeah. Like getting deeper into maybe like, why have I made this thing wrong? Or that's, and again, that's kind of where I'm stuck. I'm not sure what the next inquiry is. And it feels important to say, I'm also really motivated to go deeper with this because I can see myself then, that's what I want to take to my clients. It's like, great, now let's feel good about this thing. And I want to be able to really go into many layers of that with them as well. So yes, I think you're getting that right.
Okay, good. So let's not have the question be where to go next, because I think that's maybe not the most helpful question. Let's try this one first. If there was a part of yourself that you were glossing over, what part might that be?
Oh, yeah, maybe like looking at parts of that that maybe I find embarrassing, or parts that, because I'm going right to the benefits of that part, which I think is great, but maybe what am I glossing over?
What are you finding embarrassing? What are some of the embarrassing things that are almost like, ugh, that you feel but then ignore when you go straight to the good parts?
Well, no, because I haven't even been going there.
Yeah. What shadow? Let's pick a shadow that you've been working with. So what's one of the shadows you've cranked up to 10?
My doubter. That's a good one. The doubting part, the part that wants to tell me that spirituality isn't real, like nothing's real, it's all just, you're just crazy, and it's all just, and people who think that are crazy, and certainly people who try to get paid for that, they're really crazy, and they're charlatans and ripoff artists and all of that. So that part I've been in relationship with more.
What about the flip side of it, the one that like believes in everything, like
Yeah, the gullible one, the one that buys wine because it has a pretty label. that one that doesn't really investigate and just kind of goes with her gut.
Yeah. What's shameful about that one? The one that just like really believes, goes with her gut, just really believes in all of it.
Yeah, what's the embarrassing, the shameful part? There's certainly a connection there to privilege, that's just a thing you get to do because you're a pretty blonde white lady, and that's not really that way for everybody. That it's part of my access to privilege and like relative ease that I get to just go with my gut and not really think too hard about anything. That's in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Pause on that for a moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say something and I want to invite you to repeat it back. Be in your body as you say it. Mm-hmm. It is true that I get certain privileges because I am a pretty white lady.
I want to say that part. Okay. It is true. It is true that I get access to certain privileges because I'm a pretty blonde white lady. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is true that I get to do some seemingly frivolous things because I am a pretty white blonde lady.
It is true that I get to do some seemingly frivolous things because I am a pretty blonde white lady.
Can you feel that? Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
It doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
No, feels unfair. I feel sad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also there is maybe a part of it that is true.
For sure. Yeah.
Let's try this. We're just playing. There is a part of me that really enjoys having privilege.
Oh yeah. Yeah, though in there. Yeah, the part of me that likes it. Yeah. There's a part of me that enjoys having privilege.
Mm-hmm. What does that bring up?
Fear that I'm actually just a giant hypocrite, that I'm really protecting a lot more than I think I am, that because I have a part that enjoys it, I'm not willing to go a step further or take more action because what if it disrupts the things I like about my life?
Yeah. I think that's the part to dig deeper in and to own, like the part that does enjoy some of the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get rid of that part of you. It is. You can use it for good.
Yeah. What do you think, given what I talked about, like the ways I have been working with those parts? So it feels like I've identified a new one to work with, but I'm not sure how to do that. That isn't the way I've been doing it. Do you have any suggestions or any entrances?
Yeah. So some of it, hopefully you can do some of this on your own. I think some of it like might need some help.
Yeah.
Use.
Yeah.
So in our retreat, when we went into the like on steroids, because I couldn't, because I'm just Teresa and I were two people and I couldn't like track everybody, we kept it like really lighthearted and that like make it to 10 and fun and all of that, which is very powerful and does a lot of work. the next level after that, and again, like maybe we would do this in a container together as I'm like saying it, like, is to kind of like crank it up and be with the ugly parts of it, you know?
Yeah. That's not helpful.
To have you get stuck in the ugly parts and like that's who you're going to be, but like to burn through that.
Yeah, to take some of charge out of it. Yeah.
That's right. Does that feel like it has juice?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I can apply the same thing. I've the same energy I've been holding around it, but just do it, like you said, either with someone and also with myself. But
the way you can do it with yourself is to do some journaling that starts from like a statement like this.
Yeah.
I really love some of my privilege, right? And to just from take the emotion out of it. Don't write from an emotional place, but write from an objective place. And if you start to get emotional, bring yourself back to the objective, but write it as a truth, right? Like you are writing a truth. There is a part of me that really loves that I have privilege.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's a I want to hear how that goes. And I think it's just also a great example for all of us. So this like part of accepting the shadow, the disavowed parts, is we can come at it as objectively practicing owning it, right? So without the emotion, without the charge, like, can I be okay with the part of me that I was working with a client this morning, a private client, and we hit on a shadow for her. She kind of like out of nowhere blurted, "I want to be famous." And then it was like she had committed the biggest sin in the whole entire world for like having this desire to be famous. And because what does this mean about her ego, right? And like her need, like all of that. And we did some somatic, we did a bit of somatic work together on being with that part. And where we ended the session was with her being able to be in her body, feel grounded to the earth, feeling regulated, saying, "It is true that I have an ego that is bigger than many people's out there. And it is true that that ego serves me. And also I need it to do the big work that I'm doing in the world." She's about to publish a book. She wants it to be famous, right? But to just say that matter-of-factly, "I've got a bigger ego than most," you know, not because, right? Like just, boom. So I think that's a direction to go, and a good exercise that we can give clients after we've initially worked is to just to journal from that objective place. "I have a part of me that is selfish. I have a part of me that is lazy," right? Just accepting. Solveig, well, first, Angie, let me ask you, what are you taking from this?
Well, even just that last part gave me a, even more option of, I like the neutrality of that. Just kind of making it neutral and not a big deal. I absolutely have a part of me that's lazy. I absolutely have a part of me that will stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning buying websites. Might've just done that the other night. Like I absolutely, all the, those are all just true. And what, like, I don't even have that much control over it all the time. Like they're just, it's a big old party up in here and we're just all trying to get along and head in the right, in the same direction. So that's really helpful. And Yeah, it was helpful to get some layers underneath this one shadow that I've been working with for a long time in a lot of ways. It was a helpful just kind of twist on that to just be like, oh yeah, this is true. Instead of questioning, like stop questioning if it's true. Because I kind of made myself a little crazy questioning whether it's true. Just like, let it be true. What if it's just true? And what if that's not a big deal? What if it doesn't mean anything else besides that?
That's right. Yeah. Good. I can feel that there is freedom that can be opened up in moving more in that direction.
For sure. Yeah. It neutralizes a lot of things in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Solvay, did you raise your hand in around what Angie and I are talking about, or is it separate?
No, but that was powerful. Thank you, but not that.
Dottie, and then I'll get to you, Solvay.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. It's really good to see your faces. Thank you, Angie, for your vulnerability and honesty. That was super helpful. So for me, I've just been noticing bits and pieces. I will be honest and say I only did one of the pieces of homework, which was to write a letter from my shadow. I have some shadow around artwork and doing, so I didn't do the collage, but that's for me to figure out. But anyway, what I did notice, which was really powerful, because as you know, the bigger piece that was more impactful came out at the very end of our time together in Asheville. And that's disappointment and disappointment in my dad. And I've realized that I have a lot of disappointment in my mom too, which is something I've really kept in the shadow because I didn't want that to be true at all. So that's been really powerful though, just to have light on it because I feel more willing. I watched a video on or a talk on forgiveness. And one of the things that the woman said is to be willing to be a fulcrum of healing for your family. And it really like hit internally big time. And now that I have these things out of the shadow, I feel like I can be that fulcrum of healing. And that's huge. I'm willing to do that for my family. I'm willing to do the heavy lifting that nobody else would do. So thank you for that. And I also realized that I have a lot of shadow around money, which I think most of us do. But one that came up today that was super powerful is that I've had a belief that money is dirty. And that's big. That's big to work with.
Yeah. So. Yes, it's really big. So just working backwards, first, I'm so glad that this money piece came up, right? Because if there's a belief somewhere rolling around that money is dirty, the part of you that wants to be clean and good is going to be working against efforts to make more money, right? So looking more, you know, what I would say is definitely unpack the beliefs and, you know, if you haven't already, like where that belief has come from, you know, all of that, learn how to do that. And then in terms of shadow, be with the part of you that loves money, that almost like doesn't even care how the money came to you, clean, dirty, right? But like lean in a fun way. It's like, it's the part of you that just loves money, you know? and work there. And I just really want to honor Dottie, the courage that it takes to see and own your disappointment with your mom. I can feel how the doing that, it shakes things up, ideas about your relationship with her and what kind of mother she's been and all of that. And it's big stuff.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Solveig.
Oh, it's just been so good to hear everybody shares. Thank you. I feel like I'm getting something out of everything that you're all sharing. So thank you. And it's good to see you, everybody. Joanna, this has been so great. I mean, I just have had so many, I've been working with this so much inside myself and also trying to bring it to some of my client work as well when I feel ready for that. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk about today. Maybe both. There's maybe two pieces that I was thinking I might share about. One is I am so fascinated to watch my own resistance at bringing this to my clients. And the part that keeps coming up is like, I don't understand shadow well enough yet. So I just want to name that because it comes up over and over again. And I'm open to any feedback that you have around that because I feel like the retreat was so amazing and I left with so much. And then I was like, okay, how do I explain this to someone else? How do I explain it to myself again? How do I understand? And so I can tell that there's deeper work that I could learn from you. And then I could keep going with this because I feel like there's things I'm not totally connecting yet. And yet also I've been trying to stop the confused one from stopping. Like I've been trying to work with my own confused one resistance. Does that make sense? I see you nodding. So yes. So there's that. And I just want to name that. But what I have done is I've taken these wonderful handouts that you've given us. And I've just said to a couple of friends, can I just do this with you? Can I just walk through every step and say it and read it and then go with it? And that's been great practice for me. That being said, I haven't done it a lot with clients yet because of that. And there's this one client that something's coming up that I think would be interesting to talk with you about. And also it's not one that I think we worked with at all in the retreat. So I'm just curious what would come up or how you might work with this person around this. It's a client who is navigating a relationship. She's been in a relationship with this person for about a year. The person has, the guy seems to have a lot of jealousy and is accusing her, I'm really trying to simplify, but accusing her of being really flirty with people. And she is really struggling with it because I don't want to overstory it, but it's been really interesting because she's a very friendly person. And so I see her struggling. And I think this is a shadow piece that I think this is what I want to check in with you about is like, is this the way I can support her? She's like, maybe I am flirty. Maybe I am really flirty with people. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. And let's explore that. And then also she's navigating it in a relationship with someone who's feeling jealous. So I just feel like I want to bring that to us and maybe work on it a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I love all of this. We're going to get to all the different pieces. First, I want to talk about you and then we'll talk about her. So first of all, I mean, you know, evidence sometimes helps and evidence sometimes doesn't help, or at least for our cognitive minds. But I just want to use this last piece that you're sharing as evidence that you do know about shadow because you're like listening, you're using your deep listening skills with your client and you're like, oh, right. Here is a part that maybe she has rejected about herself and now is feeling shameful or whatever it is. And it might be interesting for her to own this part of herself. So, yeah. So they just there, you actually understand more than like 99% of the people, 95% of practitioners, 90% of people in general, and 95% of practitioners, just in that you already understand more about shadow, right? Like, okay. Oh, this isn't a bad part, right? This is, right. Cause like, this is a part that maybe she could use in a different way if she were to accept this.
Totally.
Herself, right.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I love it. Love it.
So you do know, right?
Okay. Okay. At least know that part.
What have you, as you've been practicing with friends, what have you been noticing?
Well, everybody finds value in it. I just want to say that. Like, oh, wait, no matter what I do.
You don't know anything.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. But I mean, I have to be willing to be like, okay, step three. This is the cheat sheet. This is the one I like the most, the cheat sheet for working one-on-one. If I'm willing to just walk through this and be like, okay, this is, I think, the next part. Everybody I've done this with has been like, thank you. That was cool. Like, whether, I don't know if it's changed their life, but I think they've been like, that was really like, we've had an interesting, it's created interesting conversation for sure. So I do love it. I do love it. And I definitely look at this and think, well, there's some certain things I don't understand at all yet. And there's that too. So
first I want to normalize that part. It's like, I mean, just saying, you should come to more shadow retreats.
Yes,
me.
You should. I will.
And two things can exist at once. There can be more, and you can also have enough for now.
Yes. Okay. That's what I feel.
So I want you to like really remind that to yourself, and also that it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
If it's helpful, I just want to share that I led a Sacred Depths alumni retreat. Some of you were there were you at the retreat? So I can't remember.
I couldn't make it. No.
Some of you were at the Sacred Depths alumni retreat. It was awesome. New protocol that I've been working on the last 6 months, uber powerful. And those of you that were there will attest to this. I was reading from my notes as I was doing the demo, and someone even commented on it, like in the group. She was like, it was so great to see even you, Joanna, reading your notes sometimes as you were leading the client through it, because it gave me permission, right? And the client got to where she needed to go and wasn't like, Joanna is a charlatan because she has some notes in front of her that she, right? And I think at one point I was like, nope, take that back. We actually want to do this instead.
Yeah.
I was there with her.
Totally.
In every moment. And I was checking notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll bring it. I think there's a part of me that's like, what if they bring up something that I don't know what to do next? But I also like, thank you for saying that, because I do, like, you're right. I bring notes to my classes all the time. And I'm like, well, what was that thing I was going to say again? Like, yes. Yeah. 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 So, okay. Permission to bring my notes with me.
Yeah. And to say, I've got my notes with me, if that makes you feel better, right? Just name it. So that's not in the shadow, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
With me.
I'm using notes.
Okay, so in terms of your client, mm-hmm. knowing, you know, some of the exercises that we've looked at, and I'm going to make this a group. Like, let's, anybody have ideas, add to the conversation. Let's use this as a case study for all of us. So we've got a client who is very, very friendly, and her boyfriend has mentioned that she is being too flirty, and this is causing her anxiety, from what I'm hearing, what you say, Solveig, yes. Not just because her boyfriend is upset, because she's like, I might be flirty.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where would you want to go next with this?
Personally, Personally, I've been using the other two notes. So those are the first two. Think about the hyper and the hypo and the lean into shadow. I have tried both of those with people. So I think those two could be cool as terms of practices, but that's usually where it's, then I'm like, I don't know what next. Those are the things I've got.
Yeah. So the what next is the then continuing to practice it and then maybe even take actions from it, right? So let's say you do a hyper hypo with her, and we look at her total like flirty, you know, maybe too much like flirty. And mm-hmm. then we look at her, maybe for her, it's like her prude, whatever, I don't know, the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And then she leans into what her aligned flirt is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're going to do that exercise before you go there, based on how this is coming up, my sense is that maybe the first place and then you can do that exercise, or the other one is like, and you already said it, but to have, when you were describing earlier, but to alluded to it, like, what if there was a part of you that loved to flirt?
Oh, I'm just from everything I observe. Yes, yes.
So just even having like a conversation about that, right? Yeah. So first normalizing it, right? If she needs some normalizing,
yeah,
we all love to flirt, right? So like if it were me, I would say like, you know, I love John and I am committed and I have never cheated on him, you know, personally. And I love to flirt. I do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So to like normalize it, and then just to have a conversation around what about that makes her uncomfortable, to have a conversation about her maybe exploring that part, if she's willing to just like explore that part of herself. To right, well, so back to why it makes it uncomfortable. Remember everyone's sacred contract, right? So what is it that maybe made her make a sacred contract that like, this isn't me, or this isn't a good thing, or I don't like this so much? How and when did she decide that this thing was bad or shameful or dangerous? And then you can again, just through conversation, have her explore a little bit, like, when does your flirty self like to come out? What, mm-hmm. you know, what are some things about it? How has it helped you? Mm-hmm. Et cetera, right? And then from there, maybe go into one of the somatic exercises. But I think for the way it's showing up for her, where she's already like, oh my gosh, what if I'm a flirt? Because it's there, creating some more awareness and threads. I mean, in any event, we want to create a little bit of awareness first, you know, but my sense is that is one way that I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, that's awesome. One follow-up question that if this leads us, if it's too much, let me know. But what if someone else in a dynamic is making the part, like in her case, I think it's like, I don't know that she has as much of a problem about this, but the boyfriend does. When someone like when someone's shaming somebody, I don't know, is there something there? Because I don't know that she's made a sacred contract with herself. I think she's like, I'm just fine the way I am. I think she's struggling with another person making that wrong, making that part of her wrong. So is that, can you still work this stuff even if it's that sort of relational dynamic? I mean,
So if that's it, and Simona's saying in the chat, right, deconflating her behavior and his reaction is two separate things.
Yeah.
If it's still kind of triggering her, then there are shadow pieces.
Okay.
My guess is that there are regardless, but yeah, you know, just from how she is, right? But you never know. But yeah, I mean, to take a look at what is it about him thinking that about her that is upsetting her so much.
Thank you. Thanks for workshopping that with me a bit. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to hear any other thoughts, ideas, right? Because there's always more than one pathway to get to our clients. So what else? Who wants to share? What creative ideas do you have? Angie.
It's answering that question, but it's actually directed at the first part of what she was talking about like when to step in and when not. Is it okay to share something about that? I got to have this really cool experience of like, I got to watch energy follow energy with a client specific to this. I was like, oh, Joanna would be, this is energy follows energy, because I could see that there was a perfect opportunity to step in with this client. And then I watched myself get into that, like, I don't know if I know how to do this. I got wobbly and I got kind of like, I'm going to do it, but I don't feel great. I'm not super clear about it. And I still like started to present it to him and to present this possibility that we could go in this direction. And he mirrored back to me, like, I'm not actually feeling into this. And I was like, of course you're not, because I'm not feeling into this. But it was so great. I was so grateful on so many levels, because it also showed me, like, it's fine. Like, this session then actually ended up being amazing. We just did something else. We just went in another direction where I was feeling really clear and really open, and energy followed energy. And so on that layer, just being like, it's fine. It was a total flop. And he said it, and I felt it, and it was still fine. So I was also like, it felt good to feel like the seasonedness too of my practice and be like, yes, I can flop and go. Love it. And then that same day, had another experience of different, and it also helped me look at what in my relationship with him brought up that wobble versus the next client that I did it with, and I didn't feel the wobble. I felt totally fine going into it with confidence. She's a woman, he's a dude, that's a whole, like, I just got to look at all these places at that level too. So it was just a win all around, even though it was clunky and yeah, all the things. Because then I did it with her and she was like, this is amazing, and I only want to do shadow work. And like, she had this huge breakthrough and has been changing, basically like is breaking up with her business and realized she didn't really want to be doing it. I was like, okay. So same day, same me, but not. And so I just wanted to share that experience.
Yeah, super helpful. So great. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I think so many things in that, like you said, the energy follows energy. Also, like, confidence isn't a static thing. I love this idea. You know, Solveig, just taking from what Angie just said, if it's helpful, like, what is it about the shadow pieces that are making you feel not confident? Right? Can, like, name those and see. Great. Because then you can work with them too.
Yeah, I can just say that it's that I still don't understand hyper and hypo. And I don't know why that has just stuck in my brain, but I'm just going to put that out there if anyone wants to talk to me about that later.
Yeah, and we may have time today. So yes, I'm glad you're saying that. Good. Simona.
So my first about hyper and hypo, like I have trouble between left and right. I can know, like, at this exact second as we're thinking about it, like, this is my left hand. But if you ask me in another 2 seconds, like, if I'm not really focused, I can't tell you. And my kids used to think that was hilarious. They were like, oh my gosh, mom, we'll show you how. And they're like, but it doesn't stick in my brain. So I've just learned to accept that. And I say that because, so like, if I'm the navigator, I'll be like, driver's side, passenger side, driver's side, like that. So hyper hypo might just be words that don't translate for your brain. So instead, if you want to think about, crank it to negative 100 or to 100, like, and just use different, just like how, I don't know what that would be for you. Like how I say, turn to the driver's side, turn to the passenger side. What would it be if you were going to just and if you think back to the, you know, like, well, yeah. So that's that. That's all I want to say about hyper hypo. And then I raised my hand in terms of case study. I just, one of the things I was really hearing was the deconflate, like, and I know Joanna said it, thank you for saying my chat comment. But I'm really noticing my ears picked up, and that could be wrong, but like a lot of energy around his, like, there's are two very big things, very separate, that just happen to have touched. They're their own massive things. My hypothesis that I hold a little less loosely than I should, because I know we're only supposed to hold our hypotheses loosely, hypotheses loosely. I'm holding it a little less than loosely, and I'm sure it's because it's touching on some, you know, my own filters. But I'm just gonna say in an out loud voice that those seem two really bigly separate, bigly. Yeah.
Thanks, Simona. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love all of that. And also what you said about not holding hypotheses too strongly is nicely related to checking filters and client, as always, right? But, you know, tossing things for sure.
Yeah, and I'll just say it occurs to me that it's probably his shadow that could be worked with, but I'm not sure. but I don't have that option right now as I listen.
When you were first describing it, I'm like, well, is it her shadow or is it his shadow? But if there is a trigger for her, there's now, it might not be about the shadow. It might be he won't love me or whatever. But if there's a trigger, there is something there for her. Bruce. You're on mute.
I like that what you said, Simone, about two separate things. And I also think that sometimes the touching of those separate things is the way in, is the door in. And so, you know, I'd want to know from him, like, what could I do so you would never, so it would, my flirting could be acceptable? Or what could I do so you could trust me? I would want to know a lot more from him as a way to touch on her shadow, because she's going to react really strongly to his answer to those things. So I think it feels like more of a mutuality conversation than a strictly her side shadow conversation. My hunch is the learning is in that mutual conversation. Maybe.
I love that. Yeah, maybe she's willing to have more of a dialogue with him.
That's all. Good. I can share a little bit. Are we moving on now?
No, go ahead.
So two things. I'm just kind of tired of shadow. It just kind of gets in the way of so much. What I really think is, you know, so many shadows, so little time. So I've been thinking about two things about shadow. I'm related to that. I am really interested in the efficiency. That's the right word for me. The efficiency of the noticing, the doing what I need to do and moving on. Shadow happens to me so often during the day. If I got into every shadow every time, I wouldn't have time to cook my breakfast. So I think there's a noticing, and part of it was I got into it so far from the retreat, I just got sick of it. And so I'm kind of coming back out now and just noticing, you know, when it comes out, what the root of it is, blessing myself, acknowledging what's really going on, figuring out the right next move. And so there's an efficiency in it for me that I'm playing around with. I really like a lot, not an avoidance, but an efficiency.
Yeah.
And the second thing is just noticing. It's happened three times in the last week. I'm listening to a person, and I know them well enough that I can see a shadow in what they're. I can see the shadow in what they're talking about, and just continuing to listen and love them with no urge to try and, you know, bring it up or to fix it or to figure it out. Oh, aren't I the smart one? I can see what you're doing now. So just sitting with somebody when they're talking and holding their shadow as part of my love for them.
Yes.
Rather than the deficient part of who they are that I hope they get their shit together around someday.
Yes. So a couple things that I want to pull working backwards is, well, obviously we know we're not working to fix it anyway, but I just want to see, like, I think that's true.
Maybe as- you're not.
Right. No, I know. I got that subtle point. But, you know, this thing that you're talking about is like not pointing it out and just loving it. What I want to say for all of us is this is true, not just with friends, but as practitioners as well. So when I'm listening to my clients, I'm hearing, like you just described, I'm hearing shadows, but just because I'm hearing it doesn't mean that it's the right moment to bring it up or to talk about it, back to your efficiency thing, right? Because it's not efficient in that moment or it's not relevant in that moment. It's a good piece of information that might come into play at a certain point if this thing is really standing in that person's way, or if we've worked on other, you know, whatever it is. But just because we hear it doesn't mean that we're gonna name it and create awareness on it. And so, yeah, I just wanted to underscore that because I think it's really important. Because as we start practicing this, you're right. Like, we just, like, we can see it in so many places, but just because we, like, just because we spot it doesn't mean it's for our clients to work with in that moment. And I love your desire for efficiency. And then, so I really just say this, like, I think you're saying this anyway, but the same for you, like, and for me and for all of us, we don't have to notice all of our shadows all of the time. It is exhausting. But if you can kind of notice it and love it and move on, that's great. And I don't think that's glossing it. Like you said, it doesn't sound like it's glossing over it. It feels like throughout the day, just like grabbing more pieces of yourself and grabbing more pieces of yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Who else? Anyone else want to share? If not, we'll talk a little bit more about hyper-hypo. Okay. Simona.
Because I'm the only one who didn't share, but I don't have anything. I don't have anything to say. So I just wanted to say hi. I don't think I'm shadowing shadow by not having anything to say. I just think I just don't have anything specific to say. I mean, if I start to talk, I could just, mountains of things could come out of like some of my material, but it's not like, it's not a therapy session. I don't have anything specific and succinct and like noticing about it. So I'll just say hi.
I'm glad that you're saying hi. That rings true for me. I have been wondering, Simona, just because I know you put things to use right away, if you have a celebration on with a client with shadow that you want to share with us.
So I do much better, and this is something I'm aware of about myself, but I do much better supporting others than I do supporting myself. And I'm aware of it. Of course, that's part of a shadow. But so yeah, I have absolutely loved combining all of the tools and techniques that you've taught us. And Solveig, I have like the opposite thing. I just jump right on in and be like, I'm just going to pull whatever's popping into my head and trust my higher wisdom and their higher wisdom to dance. And then if there's a lot of energy around something that may feel out of my scope, I am mindful of that. But other than that, I just trust the process. And so I guess for me, weaving in the alumni retreat technique with the shadow pieces has been also, I think that we can hit shadow light, like all, like every time, like every time there's like stickiness, like every time there's like, there's just a little friction in the person's thinking. It's just a quick little honoring, as Bruce said, it does. I agree. I don't think it has to always be going into hyper and hypo and having a full exercise. It's just like I'm noticing maybe this and this, and it just neutralizing, or even not even asking them to neutralize it, like me noticing it and be like, hey, I might be getting this right, or I could be getting it wrong. And I'll just say for myself, you know, when I am, and this may not be what you're saying, but when I'm feeling these things, like it's a little awkward because I don't love that I'm thinking this thought, but like, since I'm a human being, I have all the thoughts. And so just even just neutralizing it like that. So I'm just really loving it. Thank you. But I don't have a specific celebration other than to say mixing them all is fun.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's great. Like you can mix and match. Yeah. And the, sometimes just the normalizing, like what you're saying, like neutralizing, normalizing, they're a little different, but the normalizing can help neutralize. of exactly what Simona just said. Like, sometimes I feel this way and it feels a little funky, this and that, or even sometimes even simpler, like, yeah, I get jealous of other people too. I think we all do, right? Like, just, you know, and you don't have to go deep into it in the moment, but sometimes just a normalizing of something is a chipping away at a shadow.
That is my celebration, I think. Yeah, that's what I'll go with.
Thank you. All right. Kim is asking, will I be sharing? I will. I don't know how or when, but I will offer the protocol. It has a name now. Someone in the group named it the Belief Bridge. I will be doing like some kind of training on the Belief Bridge at some point. I just don't know when yet, but everybody will know when I do it. I'll let you all know.
I'll just, if I would say the very quickest thing for Kim or anyone who wasn't there, like, I was just looking for my notes because all the thing that, like, even when I've done it a few times now and like even not going into the protocol, just even just naming like the, I forget Joanna's language. I was looking for my notes, but like, even it's like almost like an even though nevertheless, but it's even if, like, it's like, yeah. And I did this to myself. Here's my celebration. Did myself going into Thanksgiving. Yeah, my mom might talk about me behind my back to my daughter. And yes, that triggers all my old stuff from having an ex-husband who does that. And when that happens, how do you want to take care of you? And how do you want to remember that your daughter is a young adult now and you trust her? And, you know, like, so just like, it wasn't like, oh, that's not going to happen. It was like, even when that might happen, how do you want to respond to that? And it just gave so much power to the, like, yeah, that very well might happen. Like, and even when that happens, like, how do you want to show up? And like, just back to that again, just like the accepting and normalizing all that. So the Belief Bridge is a whole process, which is beautiful, and Joanna can teach you, but that even when, that's my celebration, my Thanksgiving celebration, even when my mom got in her little slyness, I did not flip my lid this time because I was prepared.
I love it. Yay. That's a huge celebration. Okay. Who wants to share what hyper-hypo is in your own words? Come on, don't be shy. What's hyper-hypo? Kim.
It's too simplistic, but all or nothing. Everything or none of it. That's kind of just how, and hyper is the everything and the hypo is the none of it.
Yes. Yeah, simple is always best, right? So to use Kim's words, when we decide that something is shameful or bad, it's often what the thing that we're ashamed of is the all or the nothing of it, the extreme black or white, the hyper or the hypo, the so much, the all or the none, none of it at all. Good. Who else? Rose.
You know, for me, it's also the correction of the thing that I'm really, you know, don't like about myself. So the, you know, if I really don't like this part of me, that's like a sloth, whatever, that's the really, you know, I go, that's the one that actually shows up the most. But how I try to correct it is this other extreme way of being that's much, you know, very together and is always doing something and is perfect, whatever. But it's a, and it, I don't hang out there as much because the hypo for me is the one that I get more caught up in. But until I even recognize that this other one was a correction that was equally dysfunctional, I really didn't see that. So that was really a big insight for me.
Yes, I love how you're putting that. It's a correction, right? To use an example from my own life, I've been working with this the last couple of weeks because things with my parents have been, anyway, we won't get into all the story about that, but like all the Looney Tunes stuff is up, and I'm back to like really looking at one of my corrective things, which is that I am the selfish one, right? And so in order to correct that, I do all of these selfless things that of course nobody is thankful for and don't benefit anyone, but like the guilt and the selflessness, right? Like the total opposite of it in the moment helps me feel like I'm a good enough person, and it's corrective for me. So selfish, right? Good. Kim.
As Rose and you are both talking, it feels like they're both hyper. Do you know what I mean?
They are both hyper.
As well. And so maybe it's not all or nothing. Maybe it's all in all, just on different sides of a pendulum. I don't know.
Yeah, I love that. You're right. They're both hyper. They're both hyper. It's like, right. And that is part of the point of that exercise, is to help the client see like how they go to one extreme and then ping pong to the next extreme and then ping pong back to this one, when what they're really trying to find is an aligned place. And you know, that aligned place, like we looked at, it's different depending on the situation, right? Sometimes it's actually because of my mother's illness, moving way a bit further to the selfless side in particular situations, not all, but is the right thing in that moment. But it can't just always be, right? So the, yes, it's all on both. Good. Angie.
The other way that hyper and hypo and being able to see it at both ends has been helpful to me is then being able to name the coin. As Simona said, if they're both sides of the same coin, then it helps me just get even a third perspective to just say, oh, well, what is the coin itself? What am I even talking about here? So my doubter one, you know, is one end of an extreme and my like total evangelist believer is the other side. But the coin they're really trying to work on is my relationship to faith or my relationship to the mystery and the not knowing. So I can kind of get in that layer too with that polarity.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. Good. Who else? What else do you want to say about hyper-hypo?
Joanna, isn't there really a binary quality to this hyper-hypo? It's black and white. It's good or bad. It's enough or not enough. I mean, it's really, you know, strong in that binary way.
Yeah, absolutely. It is that complete black or white thinking, skipping over that middle, wherever in the middle is maybe the aligned.
I wonder, I know for me that it's that I usually start from the hypo part. And it's harder for me to move towards the hyper part. I very seldom start at the hyper part consciously, but I think a lot of people start unconsciously at that, like that woman with the who wanted to be famous from the book that you mentioned, kind of unconsciously. So to me, the usefulness in the exercise is it forces you into the hyper part on a conscious level.
That's right. Because we're usually not always, sometimes we're avoiding the hypo, but most of the time we are doing whatever we can to avoid the hyper because we like of all of the judgments of it. So exactly what you're saying, the exercise kind of gives us, our clients, the courage to kind of move in there. And then the back and forth allows us to kind of equalize it out. But yeah, it's like most of us are never going to even want to go there because of what we think.
Yeah. The hypo is for me is a safety zone.
Yeah.
I don't actually believe it's true at that extreme, but I feel really safe as long as I continue to stay there.
Yeah. I think that's a really, yes, I would agree with that. I'm glad you're tossing that. Yes. it feels safer. And I think for most people, they're more comfortable with that identity than even considering the other identity.
Yeah.
Good. Solveig, is this helping?
Yes, this is so rich. Thank you. I'm taking notes and I can't wait to think about all of them more. Thank you.
Well, tell us what you're thinking now. So in your words,
okay.
What are you understanding?
Well, I think I'm going back to, was it Simona who said, it's okay if you don't have the words, you understand it. Like that is one thing that's showing up for me is I do feel like I did this practice with somebody in my playing with a friend around it. And I do see, I think that point, I think it was whoever said, Rose, I'm not sure if it was you who said the part about overcorrecting was also helpful, like all of it was helpful, just to be clear, but that noticing the overcorrecting too. So I think that I'm not going to remember who said what, but Kim, I think you said the all of it and the none of it, the 10 and the zero, right, Angie, like all of those things, like those pieces combined with the potential for overcorrection on either side and the ping ponging between to find the aligned place. All of that is standing out to me. And Bruce, I appreciate what you said about like often people tend to be in the hypo. All of that I think is helping me. And I think I'm going to just like release those terms and just be with the concepts because I do understand the concepts. And I think I just need, my brain probably just needs some time to be able to fit them in the right box. But yeah. That's super rich and helps me to, and I know, I think I see it, like you were saying, Joanne, I see it and I hear it when it's coming up in myself and perhaps someone else. And so I think I'm just going to trust all of that.
Yes. Yes, yeah. To that.
Thank you, everybody, though. That was really, really helpful.
Good to review for all of us. And Simona, yeah, there. Oh, Dottie, and then we'll get to the neuroanatomy. Dottie.
I appreciate this a lot because I'll admit it's still a little bit muddy for me too. And I have a question about, like, for instance, going back to the woman that wants to be famous, that is part of her hypo shadow because she won't.
So yeah, so we didn't do hypo. We didn't do that exercise, but if we would have, and we might go there next, I imagine, I mean, it's going to be different for everyone, but I imagine her hypo is like, everyone should look at me because my stuff is the best and I have so much to say and I need this. You know, some of what came out in our conversation was like, I need this for my ego, like my ego, you know, like, yes, I tell myself that this book is going to help people, but I want it for me, right? So like someone who is just like, I want this for me on steroids. And I imagine the hypo would be like, more like, don't look at me, or everything I do has to be just for goodness in the world, not because I get personal satisfaction from just like being seen and knowing that I'm smart and, you know, whatever it is. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you.
Yeah. By the end in the work that we did, you know, by the end, she was, what I was having her say wasn't just like, and my ego is bigger than other people. It was some other people's. It was something, what was the sentence? It was something like, I have a bigger ego than many people's and I really enjoy it. You know, it was something like that, you know, and like, and it does good things for me, you know, just.
You know, it doesn't seem to matter if it's hyper or hypo, does it, Joanna? It's really just two extreme opposites of this thing that you're not claiming, owning, right? Okay, so that's helpful because then I get confused which one is hyper and hypo. It's just they're opposite, polar opposites on the spectrum. Okay.
Yeah, and if that language doesn't work, just abolish the language and what's the one extreme and what's the other extreme. When I'm leading the exercise when I'm leading clients through the exercise, I don't use hyper or hypo unless it's someone that's been through the training with me. And then we have that shared language, like, okay, what's the one extreme? And then the like part of what makes the exercise, I think, powerful is like, okay, now intentionally walk all the way over to the extreme opposite, to the opposite of that. So it's less a, you know, I mean, always don't use like any highfalutin language with clients unless they're a practitioner and you have that shared, whatever. I always feel like people say this about marketing, and I think it's also true in our client work. It's like talking the way that a six-year-old can understand it is usually the most powerful way to do it, particularly if it's somatic work. So like cognitive conversation, that's maybe a different story, but the somatic work, it's like, you don't want the brain to think, you don't want to bring them back into their thinking so much. Easy instructions. All right, Simona, tell us about neuroanatomy and the mystery.
So obviously but at this point, you guys know me for this long, you will already be familiar with all of this. But if we talk about our brains in two different ways, one is the triune brain. So brainstem, midbrain, which is limbic, and neocortex. So brainstem is like your sensations. It speaks like the light, it's scanning for your safety, and it's just keeping you safe. Midbrain is limbic. That's your emotional centers. And it does not speak words. It speaks image and metaphor. And then neocortex, which for some of us, that's, I'll say for me, it's who I always identify as me being me. That's the one that's like, it's the one that speaks words. But and then we have left hemisphere, right hemisphere, which I'm not going to get into right now. But the thing is, for us to know these parts get taken, I want to remember, but I think it's like 11 million bits of information every second. And this part can only process 50. So what this part decides to send up to this part is based on our history colored glasses. And so I'll give you an example and how we're going to back around to mystery. This part of my brain knew for sure that my mother was good and a wonderful mother. And that was the, and like my job was to make sure she knew she was a wonderful mother, and anything that didn't feel like good to my system was definitely like, just ignore it. She was a good mom. So like I learned that. So I went through my, I started therapy in, you know, at 15. And then the first question therapist asked about was about my relationship with my mother. And I was like, that is disloyal. And I had to leave therapy. Like, so anything that like triggered the, like, is your mom anything other than awesome, triggered something that this part of my brain shut down immediately. Like, this is not for discussion. And so as I was like, but the problems were there and they were escalating. And where I'm going with this, is I found, like, I just kept turning to the moon, like, okay, well, there's the new moon and I'm going to set intentions, and there's the full moon and I'm letting it go. And I was turning to nature and seasons and cycles and tarot, like astrology, anything that was like allowing my brain, my metaphor speaking brain, to give me messages that never touched on the fact that my mom wasn't awesome. It was just like, okay, like it was teaching me to be there for me to soothe me, like all these things working around. It's only in the last couple of years that I'm like, holy shit, I was raised by an emotionally immature woman, like a borderline of actually, I don't say I want to say borderline. I can probably say for sure at this point, maybe say, can I say this? Well, I have a complex relational trauma history. I just said it. You just saw how hard that was for me to say, but I have been doing my work for more than 20 years, really solidly. But this part of my brain, the part of my brain that speaks words, could not at all. It was so trained to acknowledge, never acknowledge anything other than my, like what I was trained, like my mom is good. she's a good mom. My job is to. So what I'm saying about the mystery is this part of our brain knows a lot, 11 million bits of information versus 50. And this part of the brain has a really great power of knowing, like, nope, can't think that. And you can squash a thought before you ever even realize you have it. But this part of the brain can communicate with you in other cool ways. And so whether or not you actually want to believe in the mystery of astrology or tarot or the moon and the stars and nature and cycles, if you want to be a pure scientist, you can say, that's fine. It could have no meaning at all, but I'm still going to lean into the metaphor that my brain wants to, the story and the weaving and the images and fantastical imagination that my brain wants to see. So if my brain wants to say, my astrology says this, like my parts of my brain that don't speak words are trying to get my attention. And even if I couldn't say that I came from a complex relational trauma background until today, after like a gazillion years of doing my own work, I was still on my journey healing. And that's what I want to say about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love that. So fascinating. I think it's so inspiring too. It makes a great case for the mystery. And I think also in a side way, it makes a great case back to our retreat on dreams and tarot and just being open to like coming, wants to come through all of that as well. It might be, you know, based on what you're sharing, Simona, like part of what I'm hearing in it, I don't know, this might not be a correct interpretation, is, but working with the cards and the ways that we did, or working with the dreams and the ways that we learned, it maybe gets a few more of those 11 million bits up into the top part of the brain.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Angie, how that lands for you, if that answers anything, or I'm just curious if that was helpful.
Specifically about the mystery.
I guess about the doubting, like the part of your brain that's like, I can't be so gullible. It's like, okay, well, I'm actually not full on going in all in to believe. I'm just allowing it to arise as information.
Yeah, I think that describes my whole life journey, is trying to find the aligned middle between those two. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Good. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys. Cause I always like to be able to, the more I get to share what I'm learning, the more it kind of gets, it just makes some, like the world makes so much more sense when we can understand our brains.
I appreciate it whenever you share about the neuro pieces. So thank you. Well, we are coming on our last intensive on Thursday and Friday. I cannot wait for it. We're gonna be looking at boundaries. Of course, we could spend a whole year on boundaries, or like to spend a day and a half or almost 2 days on it. But we're gonna be doing some fun things and looking, and it's gonna kind of bring all of the things we've been talking about together as well. So I can't wait to just spend that time with all of you. And I'll see some of you in Curriculum Lab later. And if not, I'll see you at the end of the week. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Everybody.